Bathhouse Ballads, June 16th, 2011. Where nature fills the air. Maybe it's the nature of the information and blogs I read, but there seems to be some agreement that Korean young people have less interest or awareness of the nature around them than their British peers. I have met so many Koreans who do not know the name for the beautiful jay that flashes through the trees on the slopes of mountains, do not know that there are several species of woodpecker, or do not know which tree produces an acorn. Subsequently, it has taken me years to grope my way to knowing the correct names for a bumblebee, wasp, and a hornet. Because many Koreans are not reliable at classifying and differentiating wildlife, I am often forced to use photographs on the internet, but I have learnt to be cautious, as even here anomalies can appear. And I don't think I've ever met a British kid who hates butterflies, but I know several Korean teenagers who positively detest them. Living in the city, as I do, it doesn't take long to forget the beauty of the countryside, and worse, to begin to generalise that Koreans, all Koreans, are ignorant of nature. The ignorance, I now realise, is solely mine, and having hung around the city too long, where most of my students and friends have been born and bred, I have forgotten that a significant part of the population live in the country. I rarely meet any enthusiasm for wildlife among those Koreans I know, and even though they love hiking, the mountains are not really conducive to walking off trail or random exploration. The mountain trails are always busy, and as the borders between the human world and the wild provide only a window into the diversity of Korean nature. However, ask Koreans about the camel cricket, threadworms, or cockroach, and you elicit animated, revolted responses. I recently saw a bumblebee while with a Korean friend, and it terrified him. The sight of it actually caused him to step backwards. It was on the floor and suffering the common bumblebee problem of not being able to take off. It was at the start of spring, and in the cooler weather they need to warm up, much like cars or humans in the cold. I put my hand down and let it climb onto my finger, and raising my arm skywards, it was able to launch itself, first plummeting before finally gaining altitude and eventually soaring away on the breeze. My friend was shocked I had dared let it on my hand, not because it could have stung me, which bumblebees rarely do, but because it was dirty. But he's city-born and city-bred. To date, this is the only bumblebee I've seen in Korea. In the UK, one often hears rumours that some of London's inner-city kids have no idea where potatoes come from, and have never actually seen a cow. However, I wouldn't be fool enough to make generalisations from such myopic observations as I seem to have done in Korea, where I have prejudged most Koreans to be disinterested in nature and wildlife. Last week, I spent the morning no more than a 20-minute car drive away from bustling Songso, in the area of Hwawon. I'm with a friend whose teenage cousin lives in the area and who is able to tell me the names of wildlife not just in Korean, but English. Although the city is blocked from view by one mountain, and the fact it lies only a few kilometres away, the distance might as well be a few hundred kilometres. And our teenage guide is definitely more rural than high-rise towny. When I spot a praying mantis in the grass, only a few inches long, he deftly picks it up between finger and thumb, in a manner which seemed practised, and was just as excited with it as I was. Okay, I know this is one Korean, and that my perception of the relationship between Koreans and nature is being radically transformed by him, but there is farmland as far as I can see. Is it really possible to live in such an environment without imbuing some knowledge of, and passion for, the surrounding beauty? The number of times that Korea evokes in me a heightened sense of reality, where I am reminded of the uniqueness of my experience and how amazing it is to be in a culture thousands of miles away from my own, has diminished. Not only is Korea crawling with other wags, myself included, but it has gradually become home from home. The internet, Skype, Messenger, and a foreign epic teacher in every school has tamed the hermit kingdom, and brought it much closer to the West than it was 10, 20 or 30 years ago. And a browse across the clogosphere tends to dampen the numinous when it is stirred because a zillion others, just like myself, are having a similar experience. But I remember the times I was inspired by my first glimpse of the Milky Way from Korea, my first rice paddy, and experienced the break of dawn from the top of a small mountain. Such moments were uplifting, somewhat mystical, and quite moving, and all the more so in the absence of the internet and an army of fellow foreigners, both of which dull the uniqueness of your experience. In the base of the Huawan Valley, the rice paddies are flooded and newly planted with crops. In the distance I heard not just the first cuckoo in late spring, but my very first Korean cuckoo per se, and all around the air frantically buzzed with busy insects. Of course, the season of the Memmi has yet to come, as the weather is still cool. What was most incredible, however, was the air. It was alive with the scent of grass, wild flowers, and the humidity of the paddy. I don't think I've ever experienced such an alive and pregnant smell, and it was so heady and rich I snorted it loudly, laughing to myself in what was almost giddy glee. I suspect, if I were to spend more time in this environment, I would quickly discover locals with a love for and knowledge of the nature around them. There was far more to discover here in the broad valley than up the mountain manacled by a trail frequented by an army of hikers. I am gradually coming to realise that perhaps Koreans aren't so ignorant of nature as I had at first thought, and now suspect I have been drawing conclusions about them based on the assumption that a bumblebee or hornet are universally significant. If I asked British people about camel crickets and Memmi, I could arrive at exactly the same conclusion.